20th, 2019. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the chilly Chicago suburbs via republicbroadcasting.org. I invite you to visit my website at spingola.com to access the radio schedule page, and you just click on the radio schedule page on the left side, and you may see the guests that we have had on and the guests that we will have on in the future. My other website is screeningsandyhook.net. screeningsandyhook.net. If you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, email comment@spingola.email. Join others in the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And the archives, of course, are at spingolaspeaks.net and republicbroadcasting.org. My guests the first 2 hours today are Tom Voss and Rebecca Ann Guyan, the authors of Where War Ends, a combat veteran's 2,700-mile journey to heal, recovering from PTSD and moral injury through meditation. It was published on October 29th, 2019. Tom, Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Rebecca, I hope I've pronounced your last name properly.
You were close. I can't even pronounce it properly myself. So we say Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N. It's Vietnamese.
Right. Okay, you say Nguyen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you grow up in Vietnam, or?
I am Vietnamese by marriage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. All righty. This is quite an interesting book, and it's just amazing the things that you have been through. You carried the wounds of war, the invisible wounds of war. You witnessed things that went against your fundamental beliefs. Excuse me. And in the beginning of the book, you talk about this. You say moral injury is a wound to the soul. It happens when you participate in or witness things that transgress your deepest beliefs about right and wrong. It is extreme trauma that manifests as grief, sorrow, shame, guilt, or any combination of those things. It shows up as negative thoughts, self-hatred, hatred of others, feelings of regret, obsessive behaviors, destructive tendencies, suicidal ideation, and all-consuming isolation. You may experience moral injury if you've survived abuse, witnessed violence, participated in the chaos of combat, or experienced any form of trauma that's changed your understanding of what you or other human beings are morally capable of. I just can't imagine how you've been affected. I do know what PTSD is. Very familiar with it, actually. You have discovered a way of overcoming this situation through meditation. Can you talk a little bit about that, Tom?
Yeah. My whole journey actually is dealing with the moral conflicts of war. I think it's really hard to grasp for a lot of people because less than 1% of the population has served in the military. And even then, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be deployed to a combat zone. So there's a finite amount of people that have experienced combat in the truest sense. So it's really challenging for, I think, a lot of men and women when they come home and they have these experiences of war that challenge their sense of right and wrong and moral standing. And meditation has been something that has really helped me move through a lot of these challenges, reconnecting with myself and being able to actually take the time to move through the different things, the different traumas and experiences that I experienced during war in a more healthy way, I guess you could say.
How did you happen to discover or decide that meditation would be helpful to you? Was there a person that said, why don't you try this or why don't you try that? Because I know a lot of the veterans that come home are prescribed psychiatric drugs, mm-hmm. which are not helpful at all. It just actually makes... It seems to make the situation worse. So how did you discover that meditation would be an out, would be something that would be helpful?
Well, it was kind of one of the last things that, you know, I came across. And, you know, being in the infantry, we're not really, supported. I shouldn't say supported. We're not really taught that it's okay to ask for help. So, you know, it took me a long time. I went through different VA, traditional therapies in the VA, you know, traditional talk therapies, EMDR. And then I was also put on psychiatric medications, which ended up numbing me even more so than I already was. So I was in a position where I didn't even feel like a human being anymore because I couldn't feel anything at all. And my rationale was like, well, at least I could feel depressed, or I could feel the sorrow and the grief and the guilt and the shame when I wasn't on these, you know, the many different medications that I was on at the time. So, you know, meditation came to me as I was walking across the country. And introduced by the director of the documentary film, Michael Collins. He directed Almost Sunrise that I was featured in. And through that process, that's how I came to try it. Because I was at a point, like the walk across the country was a kind of a last-ditch effort. So, you know, at that point in my life, I was contemplating suicide. And at that point, I lost a couple friends to suicide or complications from war. So I didn't want to, I wanted to at least put in the effort to try to heal myself before I got to the point of wanting to take my own life. So that's what really motivated me to walk across the country. And through that process, I was introduced to meditation.
Amazing. 27 miles, 2,700 miles. And you, excuse me, you started in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And you walked to the Pacific Ocean with a fellow veteran.
Correct.
And as you were doing this, you say that you met other veterans, Native American healers, spiritual teachers. And had you not made this trek, where would you be?
Probably not here. to be honest, yeah.
Wow. Now, which group of people helped you the most? I noticed Native American healers. They do exist. There are all kinds of healing modalities, and I meditate every day. Mm-hmm. And it really is very helpful. And I know that that there are ways of taking care of these things, of dealing with the feelings that you felt. And wow, 2,700 miles. And what really led you to doing this walk, besides your situation with not being able to feel anything?
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide, okay, I'm going to do this walk? Is it that you just wanted to? What made you do this?
So really, it was kind of out of necessity, as I kind of talked about a little bit before, in the fact that I didn't really have any time to process what I had experienced in a combat zone. So, you know, there was no time, there was no space to explore.
Okay, so you were, yeah. The space is what did it. You needed. Okay.
Yeah, so the only thing that I could think of doing, and I knew I needed to do something pretty drastic to remove myself from my environment, and because at that point, you know, I had been in and out of school full-time job, you know, trying to play catch up with a lot of my peers that were already graduating college after I got out of the service, and really trying to push aside and push down the things that I had experienced in combat. So that's kind of a recipe for disaster when you don't address the things that these traumatic experiences in your life, they end up coming back to remind you that they're still there in many various different ways.
Right. Now, how did you and Rebecca and meet?
Rebecca's my sister, so we've known each other for...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we really started talking about sharing my story. It must have been a few years ago, and I think Rebecca can share some really good insight on this, because I knew there's a lot of other veterans that are experiencing what I've experienced, and I knew that talking about my story or sharing my story in a meaningful way, you know, being open and as vulnerable as possible through sharing this experience, was like the only way that I could think of would be helpful for other veterans and family members that are experiencing this. So I reached out to my sister, and we started kind of talking about the process of writing the book and what it might look like, and it just kind of went from there. But I think Rebecca can add some great insight as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say too that when we first started talking about a book, it really became a way for Tom and I to just start to have a conversation around some of the things he'd experienced during combat that he hadn't told anyone yet. And the book sort of gave us like this safe space, like a place to have this conversation about really difficult things and difficult feelings. And it gave us sort of like a framework. It became kind of like, well, we better talk about it because it's for the book. Which, I mean, it did end up being for the book, but it also, it gave us a buffer, I think. And when I think about other families who aren't quite sure how to bridge a topic with someone they loved, someone who may be suffering in silence, having something like that to sort of point to, and let's give us a reason to have these conversations. And it could be, you know, it could be a book. I'm sure there's lots of other, you know, reasons you could give yourself, but there's something about that, I think, that made it safe for us to look at unsafe topics.
That's a really good idea. That I can see that happening. Now, you were in northern Iraq, and you saw, oh gosh, northern Iraq was just destroyed, and well, Iraq was destroyed, and I've never been in warfare, and a lot of people haven't, and so this was something that was unique to you, And what a great idea that you, what a wonderful opportunity that your sister, that siblings had an opportunity to talk about this and to actually recover. I congratulate both of you for doing this together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What an amazing thing. Now, did you sign up or were you drafted or how did you happen to end there?
I volunteered when I was 19 years old to join the United States Army active duty military. So, joined right after high school. And from there, I trained for about a year and then ended up going to Mosul, Iraq, so northern Iraq, like you were saying. And, spent 12 months in Mosul, which is now, as you kind of alluded to, it's pretty demolished, after ISIS went and captured it. So, you have, circling back to moral injury, I had to sit and watch, Mosul fall to ISIS during that time, which is deeply troubling for me. And, I lost friends there, and I know a lot of other people that lost, a lot of men and women in that combat zone. And, to see, things like that happen, you start to question, what was it all for? Why are my friends dead? So there's a lot of moral conflict that goes on in soldiers long after, they're removed from the combat arena. And that's something that's really not, talked about a lot is, what is the true cost of war? And we talk about, the trillions of dollars that we're spending, for our military budget, but we're not talking about the, moral and social psychological impacts that last for generations and generations to come.
Now, I know there's a Veterans Administration. Do they consider that you are in need of help? Do they even recognize, beyond giving you some psychiatric drugs, that do they consider you disabled?
I think I would considered disabled in the sense that I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress in 2008. The VA, they're making a lot of good progress, and I really like to honor the people who actually, are working in the front lines of the VA, because it's a tremendous challenge to take on helping the men and women who are returning from war. And, I just feel like they're inundated. You have people with 6, 7, 8, sometimes 10 deployments.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then, that's 6 years of someone's life in a combat zone. So how does that impact their mental health? So they have a tall order, to fill, with these, wars that continue to go on, seemingly endless.
This is the longest war, I believe, that America has ever engaged in. And it does seem like an endless war.
So, sure seems like it. I mean, we have generations of children that don't know what it's like to not be at war. So.
Right. And this whole thing impacts the families, not just the people who are there.
Correct.
Okay, we are going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All right, welcome back. Guests, the first 2 hours, or the first hour today, are Tom Voss and Rebecca Ann Wen, and they are the authors of Where War Ends, A Combat Veteran's 2,700-Mile Journey to Heal, Recovering from PTSD and Moral Injury Through Meditation. Okay. The war, the invasion, started on March 19th of 2003. And there were a lot of people who signed up to go to war, as you did, right out of high school. And you wanted to serve your country, or feel like you were serving your country, doing your part, correct?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And the other thing too is that, you know, our family is kind of a family of service. So our grandfather was a World War II veteran who was in the Marine Corps and fought on Iwo Jima. So he had a pretty big impact on my service. So he fought and was wounded in a battle there, and ended up being able to recover, then come home and became a judge in our community. But on top of that, he ended up volunteering for about 5 or 6 different veteran service organizations and was very active in the community. So, you know, from a very young age, I think my sister and I really recognized that we're here to be of service to other people and to help other people who need help. And that was a really big driving force in me joining the military.
Okay. And so your family supported your efforts, your decision?
Yes. I mean, reluctantly, of course, because I joined in 2003, that was, you know, a pretty tense time. And I have to, you know, think back at, you know, put myself in my parents' position of having their son.
Oh, yes.
Join the Army, active duty infantry, when, you know, we're actively in war in Iraq. So it must have been pretty challenging for them, but they really supported my decision in what I wanted to do. And I'm really thankful and grateful for that.
Wow. Did you have friends join at the same time you did?
No, not really. I think a lot of people my age, at least graduating, there's a few from my graduating class that, you know, as the years went on, ended up joining maybe a year or two after I joined. But I pretty much, you know, made the decision on my own. There was no one else that I entered the service with.
Okay. And how long were you in? You joined in 2003, right out of high school.
Yep.
And how long were you there?
I served in the United States Army for 3 years and deployed to Mosul, Iraq for 12 months. So I had a year deployment there.
Okay, but you were there for 3 years.
I was active duty for 3 years and my deployment was 1 year.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went to boot camp, apparently?
Yes. So that's part of the initial training of going into the service. So, you know, everyone has to complete and pass basic training. And I ended up going to Fort Benning, Georgia, home of the infantry, and graduated and then got stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, and ended up deploying from Fort Lewis to Mosul.
Okay. Wow. When you came home, you said that you were on several drugs. Do you remember some of those things that you were on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the actual name of the, you know, prescribed medication, but anti-anxiety medication, sleeping pills, antidepressants, and then, you know, different variations of those, just trying to figure out what worked and what didn't. But, you know, in that process, I was still self-medicating with alcohol, which is a dangerous
compound. Oh, yes.
And I think a lot of, you know, you have to be in the right space, the right healing space to be on medication in the first time. And I was definitely not in that space because I was definitely self-medicating still and taking prescription medications as well.
Oh, that's very dangerous. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yeah. And I think a lot of veterans end up in that, you know, scenario. You have a lot of veterans that have very various, you know, challenges, physical challenges from their services, whether it's bad knees, bad backs. And this kind of feeds into the opioid crisis because, you know, when you're in a combat zone, you know, medics, they're just going to get you what you need so you can continue the mission. So, you know, you have people handing out opioids or muscle relaxers or different to help soldiers, you know, make it through physically because it's so physically damaged.
Wow. Okay, we have another break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, welcome back.
This is Deanna. And our guests the first hour today are Tom Voss and Rebecca Ann Wen. They are the authors of When Where War Ends, A Combat Veteran's 2,700-Mile Journey to Heal, Recovering from PTSD and Moral Injury Through Meditation. It was just published on October 29th, 2019, and is readily available. I urge you to purchase a copy. Now, you said that the memory of doing or witnessing things that went against your fundamental beliefs. What I don't want to bring up anything that. Well, I'm sure you've thought about this and talked about this. And
sure, yeah. You can ask whatever. That's fine.
And we know that 22 veterans a day commit suicide. There's an opioid situation. So what went against this fundamental belief that you...
Yeah, it's... The example I like to use is, you know, we're all taught, or, you know, generally... most of us are taught that it's not okay to take another person's life. From a very basic, fundamental, standpoint. So in combat, basically those moral parameters are lifted, and it's expected. And you're kind of in this situation of kill or be killed, quite literally. So you have to do your job, otherwise you or your friends that you're serving with die. So it's very life and death situations. But when you come home, and then you have time to start processing this stuff and really thinking about these major events in your deployment that impact you, you start to ask questions. Was I justified in my actions? You know, were we, you know, as a country, justified in our actions? And what did I participate in? And how is this? Am I a good person? Can I be forgiven? Asking these really tough, morally centered questions, trying to figure out, you know, how you move forward when you've actually violated a lot of these fundamental beliefs.
Right. I can certainly understand that. Mm-hmm. I personally don't believe that we're supposed to be killing other people.
Right.
I think everybody believes that way, that we shouldn't be killing other people.
Right.
Strangers, in fact. Now you mentioned that you discovered meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And what kinds of meditation have you become involved with? Is it guided meditation? Is there a particular type of meditation that has helped you beyond what one would? Well, tell us about your meditation. How did you start?
Sure. So I started with a mantra-based meditation. It's called Sahaj Samadhi meditation. It's roots out of India. So that's what I first learned. So I was given a mantra to be able to help me get into a more meditative state by repeating the mantra as you're meditating. So that's where I started and learned a bunch of different breath-based meditation techniques. Some of these techniques are offered by the Art of Living Foundation if anyone's interested in experiencing them. And it's something that I practice every day. You know, like you were saying, you meditate every day, and it's something that I try to do to maintain. It's like mental hygiene, right? We exercise our body, and we need to really exercise our mind and maintain mental health. So it was really challenging in the beginning to really get started, but it was something that I really viewed as a discipline, and it's something that I took very seriously because I didn't want to end up another statistic of the veterans that are dying by suicide.
Right. And so you do this every day as part of your day. Do you ever suffer from other things, insomnia or things of that nature, that are associated with your time in Iraq?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that still impact me to this day. Sleep is something that's kind of challenging for me, and I think a lot of other veterans. And that's because when you're in a combat zone, there are there's no really downtime or free time to really rest or do anything. You know, there's examples like we would go out on a 72-hour mission, and we would come back just completely exhausted, and then we would go into our rooms and start taking off all our gear, and within 10 minutes we get a knock on the door saying that we got to go back out. So you maintain you're just constantly on for a year straight. And after being in those dangerous environments for a long time, your nervous system actually starts to conform to to your environment. So that's why I think a lot of veterans struggle with sleep, and I'm definitely in that category as well.
Have you ever and when you wake up in the middle of the night, how do you handle it? How do you get back to sleep?
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. When I first got back from my deployment, it was one of those things where I just wouldn't even attempt to go back to sleep. So I would just get up and start my day. And, you know, if that was had happened to be 2 or 3 in the morning, that's what it was. So that's just how you have to kind of adapt to these different things. Definitely not probably the healthiest alternative, but you really just have to manage it the best that you can on a day-to-day basis.
Now, what about the breathing techniques? Have you found that breathing techniques help you to sleep or no?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely help with mental clarity and being able to process some of these things. It does help with sleep in quieting the mind. So I know, for example, that it takes me a long time to even fall asleep in the first place. Sometimes a few hours just.
Oh my gosh.
Of laying there. So it's a challenge, but definitely the meditation, breathing techniques, you know, in the yoga community, they're called pranayama. So doing different breathing techniques really help quiet the mind.
Okay. Have you ever heard of soft belly breathing?
It sounds familiar. I'm not too familiar with the exact breathing technique itself, but I think I might have heard of it before.
Okay. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, usually around 3, and I can get back to sleep just in seconds by doing certain breathing techniques. And do you meditate at night or in the morning? Or both?
I try not to meditate in the evening because it actually gives me kind of a boost of energy. So I try to do all my breathing and meditation in the morning. So it's a really good way to start my day. So then I'm starting my day from that space and I'm able to move through it. But I found that, you know, I've been meditating for almost 6 years now. I found that, you know, if I do it too late in the evening, it can have adverse effects on my sleep.
Wow. Have you ever heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza?
No, I have not.
He has an evening and a morning meditation. They are about 30 minutes long, and this gentleman. My son recommended his video and his work, and so I took his online class and purchased several of his meditations and downloaded a lot of them, and I do the morning one. I do it in the morning and the evening when I do it in the evening, and sometimes I don't even get through the evening one, which is about 30 minutes, because it is so relaxing that it immediately puts one to sleep. And one of his premises is that we look to the future, we look at the potentiality of the future, that the past is over, and there's much to look forward in the future. And when I do wake up in the middle of the night, which I do frequently, I do some breathing exercises, and it immediately puts me back to sleep. Now, it wasn't always this way. Sometimes I would be up for 2 hours. I would read, and then I would get up and I'd be tired. So sleep is incredibly important. It's incredibly important that you get sufficient sleep so that you can go through the day with the maximum of physical energy and hope, and not the past is gone. It's gone, and he encourages people to look towards the future, and he helps people to get over the past. You can't change what has happened, but you can look at the opportunity from the present forward, And he talks about a loving intelligence that is totally aware of each and every individual. And it was amazing when I first came in contact with him and his work. It was very helpful to me. So that's just my take on it. And I do this this soft belly breathing sometimes. You just put your hand on your tummy, and you breathe so that you feel you breathe deeply so that your stomach moves. And you do that for just a few moments, and it just puts you right back to sleep. If that's helpful. I've looked at other methods of meditation. I don't like to just limit myself to one. I like to be able to have choices and to incorporate whatever is going to be of benefit to me and to my situation. Are you in therapy in addition to doing meditation?
Currently, not in therapy, but you know, it's something that's in my tool chest, I guess you could say. And I agree with you. You need to find all the different things that work best for you and in managing whatever's happening. And you know, meditation, peer support is a big one for me. So reaching out to other veterans, talking about our experiences, and trying to find common ground, even if we don't have the exact same similar scenarios, we both have the experience of being deployed or being in a combat zone or whatever that may be, is really important to be able to connect with people in that fight's isolation, which is a common you know, symptom of you know, post-traumatic stress and moral injury.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful that you can meet with other people. And on your trek, this 2,700-mile trek, you met other veterans?
Yeah, we met a lot of veterans along the way and a lot of family members along the way. So we had a really good you know, we feel really grateful that we had the opportunity to be able to speak to so many different veterans to really get an understanding of what veterans were going through across the country. And, you know, across the board, a lot of veterans are, and their families are facing the same challenges. So, you know, when veterans are struggling or family members are struggling, you know, they just know that there are other family members and veterans that are going through the same thing. So there are a great organization, like there's an organization called TAPS, which is TAPS .org, I believe it is. But they provide support for family members that have lost loved ones either to suicide or in combat in some fashion during their service. So there's great organizations that help connect people with other people that have similar experiences, and that's very, very important when you're going through your own healing process.
Wonderful. That was, what an idea for you to do that, to take this journey. That's just an amazing accomplishment in and of itself.
Thank you.
You must have felt, how did you feel? When did you decide you were going to do this?
Well, I think, you know, we formulated the process, I think, in 2013. And you know, it was before that. And I think Rebecca can chime in too, because she was kind of there when we decided, or at least I decided that I wanted to walk across the country, because I knew I needed to do something drastic and something kind of extreme to really take the time to be with myself, to be able to process the experiences of war. But I think Rebecca understands.
Right.
That, was there actually with the day that I decided to do it.
Yeah, it was that night, and you came over to my apartment and you said, I think I want to walk across the country.
simple as that.
Yep. And a few months later you were.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, what did you organize? What did you take with you? How did you plan your trip, your stops? How did you plan this, the logistics of it?
Yeah, so we do, you know, in the military, we're trained at backwards planning. So you kind of pick out where you want to end and plan backwards from there. So we knew we wanted to end at the Santa Monica Pier at the end of Route 66. So we just started backwards planning from there and finding, you know, we understood that Route 66, you know, goes
right.
pretty far. So we ended up focusing on that.
Wow. All righty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
The first hour today are Tom Voss and Rebecca Ann Wen, the authors of Where War Ends, A Combat Veteran's 2,700-Mile Journey to Heal, Recovering from PTSD and Moral Injury Through Meditation. Now, you began in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with a fellow veteran. What did your parents think about this idea of walking across America?
Again, I think they were really supportive of my decision, and I think they understood that I needed to do this to help heal. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of family members that feel pretty helpless when it comes to helping their loved one that has served in the military. So They were very supportive, and we ended up doing a fundraiser around it and awareness campaign for veterans issues as well.
Wonderful. That and the fact that Rebecca, that you were close enough and that you were able to do this together. Obviously, you're very close. You're probably close in age, two years apart.
Yeah, that's right. We are. Yeah, and it was.
I'm just guessing that.
Yeah, you're right on the hour. About 2.5 years apart. I think it was. It was a great chance to sort of bridge that divide that happens between family members and combat veterans, because Tom went to war and I can never understand what that was for him. And so growing up together, being close in age, we had a, you know, pretty similar experiences. And then I picture it like a kind of a fork in the road when I went to university and he went to war. And so how can you ever hope to understand? And I don't know that you can, but you can try. And that's, you know, as the family member, I think it's difficult because we want to understand and we don't at the same time, because what we're seeking to understand is terrifying. And it's, you know, Tom says it's the worst of humanity. It's the worst of human experience. And so you have to be brave to investigate that and to ask your loved one about that. And then I was super fortunate because Tom is also incredibly brave in sharing his experiences and being honest. And I think that what's special about the book and about Where War Ends is that he's, you know, people are saying that he's brutally honest, which is that he's not sugarcoating things, you know, that he experienced or that he felt. And it's that honesty is where I think the healing can really begin.
Mm-hmm. And you're continuing to work on this and talking with others. I would imagine that writing the book, there were some very painful memories. It must have been very difficult for you to actually write the book. You talk about the chaos of war and you talk a lot about everything. You have different parts of the book in which you discuss. Oh, we're at the top of the hour. Well, bless your hearts for doing what you've done.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on the program today. And take care. Keep meditating.
Thanks for having us.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.